You have a strange, disquieting feeling, along with a sense of sorrow, longing, and unfulfilled desires as you near the lake. The briny lake seems to draw you towards it.
Hello there. Could you help me? This water is so cold, and I need someone to help warm me.
This is one of the most beautiful women you've ever seen. She has lovely, long, golden green hair, although your eyesight tends to focus a bit lower than that.
Why don't you come to my arms so that I can give you a real greeting?
The lake spirit moans softly as she holds you closer and closer and tighter, then pulls you down into the lake.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're questing for glory. From 1994, we're playing the fourth installment in Sierra's Quest for Glory series, Shadows of Darkness, for MS-DOS and Windows. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host Todd Brisket.
You forced the sphincter open with your dagger and push through.
And our other dashing co-host and adventurer, his name is Huell Hauser.
Bad building. No go there. Bad, bad, bad.
This week, we have a special guest. He's the first spouse of a guest that we've had on for a full show, and he knows this game series inside and out. It's Jovial John.
My, you're looking heroic today.
I got that quite a bit playing this game. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, you need to spend all them holiday monies you got. Still, support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Quest for Glory 4. Starting in 1989, Quest for Glory was one of the flagship series for Sierra. While it didn't quite reach the fame of King's Quest or the infamy of Leisure Suit Larry, Quest for Glory still had 5 installments, and it received good to very good reviews over the year. John, he is a master of the series, and he recommended that we play the 4th installment this week. I think it was kind of the first one for all of us. John, since you know this game and the series so well, why don't you start the discussion off for us here?
So I asked to play this game because this was one of my absolute favorites growing up. The first 4 games you could play on DOS. So, I mean, I had an SX-33 computer, and it didn't have any problem playing any of these games. But I actually bought another computer so that I could play the 5th game in the series.
Oh, that's dedication.
I've been there.
Yeah. So, I liked it that much. And I've been playing it, actually, the last couple of days. And I started maybe a couple of weeks ago and still love the game. Obviously, from the 80s, so it's way, compared to a lot of the games you're going to play today, way more simple. But I can't think of a game that does the snark as well as this.
Oh, my. This game loves itself. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah,
this game slathered itself in honey and just went to town.
And vinegar.
And, whoa, let's keep it contextual here. Garlic. Lots and lots of garlic.
Oh, yes. I bought some.
Well, John, I will admit right off the bat, I played this game for probably about an hour, hour and a half, and I barely got out of that goddamn cave.
Yeah,
that's how bad I am.
My biggest stumbling point in the 4 hours I played this game is how to exit the cave.
The getting out of the cave was a challenge.
Well, what characters did you start as?
Oh, I was role playing as Sir Butthead, a knight. Well, I think it's called a fighter.
A fighter. Okay.
Fighter.
although apparently I. Here's the even sadder thing. The very first room I couldn't get out of, I had to look on YouTube, and finally I figured out, you have to use the flint on the mantle there, or the altar, and that lights the torch, and then you can use that to force that sphincter open, as Todd said.
I just realized the first screen right off the bat, just click everything. You're gonna have to click every damn thing that you see.
It's a good setup. Like, once you kind of learn that, oh, I have to click everything. Mm-hmm. Except the only issue I had was some of the visuals were a little. I couldn't really see the bodies.
The skeletons. Yeah.
That was my problem too. Eventually, I realized after I had clicked around on everything, oh, that was a skelly bones laying there.
Right. I actually fell over it trying to walk. Like they try to let you know in many ways that this is something that you need to do. Mm-hmm. So I fell over it and like the flint fell out.
Yeah.
That's when I realized that there might be more laying around.
I will say though, I don't think it's a fault of the game. I consider it's more on me because this is probably the first like point and click adventure game I'd played in I don't even know how long, 15, 20 years. Mm. So I feel like if I
really? You don't consider you played the Walking Dead games, right?
Yeah, but those are much more like hand holding when it comes to
sure, but it's the same kind, the same genre.
Same. I don't know, because we just said last week that they were like storytelling adventure games or something. They feel different than this.
Sure. Okay.
I would say. similar, but not the same.
I feel like if I had played this in the early 90s, this would definitely be in my wheelhouse.
For sure. This, I totally agree. I played the hell out of King's Quest and other games, but this one, Quest for Glory, never showed up on my radar. I played, you know, every Monkey Island, every LucasArts game, but I never played any Quest for Glory. But it definitely is my wheelhouse, first of all, because of the humor, which a 10-year-old T would be amazed and astounded by the humor in this game. And also that it's an RPG where you have to actually fight.
Yes. That was cool. I like the little fighting parts it had in this game.
Yeah, when I went back, that fighting was so cool in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Now with all the different, you know, I'm just getting done from playing Battlefront on PS4 on a ultra high def TV. So and you know all the crazy knobs and whatever on the PS4 controllers. So it takes you way, 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 way back. But
yeah, that's the only thing that doesn't hold up in this game is it seems like the fighting graphics and animation are kind of lame.
Yep.
The overworld clicking around through the map and everything is still holds up, even though it is pixelated, but just the fighting doesn't hold up that well.
Yeah, and the surprising thing is I think, I'm not going to say the coolest part, but the fighting was definitely one of the selling points at the time.
Oh, I definitely agree with you, because I remember, like, I played the point-and-click games, but it was stuff like The Uninvited and Deja Vu and Shadowgate, which did not have fighting in them, really. It was either you did something good and you got an item or something, or you died. And you died constantly, even from, like, oh, you slipped on a snake and you fell into a chasm and you die. Like, this at least, you know, the fighting is under your control.
Yeah, and you generally, when you die in this game, you generally earn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do make it a little bit more difficult to die in the overworld map or the, you know, walking around compared to other adventure games of the era.
Well, I died on the third screen trying to get across that effing chasm. I just got tentacled.
Dude, so yeah, for no reason. How did you die there?
I was just standing there and the tentacles popped out and grabbed me.
Wow.
I didn't do anything.
That's impressive.
I clicked on the rope. It said, well, hey, you can't do anything because you're a weak wizard.
You're wearing that short skirt. Maybe you deserved it.
You're a weak little wizard. You can't climb the rope. And then the tentacles grabbed me.
Yeah, you shouldn't have played as Asian schoolgirl as your class.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the expansions.
I do want to tell you, I specifically told you to play as Paladin, and I clued you in. And I did clue you into the thing, just because I knew it, especially starting the game out and never having played before, you want a little bit of an edge.
Well, Paladin, according to the instructions, you couldn't even unlock unless you played the other four.
Yes. The beauty is that there's this thing called Google, and you can just type in there whatever it is that you want.
I am a man of honor, and I play games straightforward. I like to experience them. for myself.
Yeah, I played fresh out of the box. A game like this, I just picked the fighter. I had a fighter.
I do not cheat.
Broham, and I did not cheat. The only time I had to look up, I think I got pretty far. I lasted like 5 days before we had to record. And I fought some dragon whelplings and walked around a cemetery. The only part I had to look up was as soon as you go into that sphincter, I couldn't find how to get out of the second room. It's only until I looked up a guidance that said, oh, you just walk out the bottom.
Go down. Just go down.
The thing is, this is where it screwed me for having played this game before. I could have sworn you had to go out of one of those other sphincters. I sat in that room for like it was an embarrassing amount of time before I'm like, what in the hell? And I looked it up too, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
No, I had the same exact problem. I got stuck on that screen for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I also had to look that up on YouTube.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The fighting kind of doesn't hold up, and then the worst part of the game by far is getting out of the room and out of that cave in general. But after you get through all that stuff, you know, for the time, the characters were pretty great. And
yeah, after you get out of that cave, it's just all about exploring the forest and having little encounters,
going
and
to town. Talking.
Meeting that Katrina.
Oh, ooh. Yeah,
John, I'm not gonna lie, I was furious that we were playing this when I couldn't get out the cave. I'm like, this is the worst game ever made. What the hell's happening?
So now you know exactly how I felt when you started playing The Room for us.
Ooh.
Oh.
I was so angry with you.
But then I stuck with it.
How amazing it was because I stuck with it.
Yep.
Which I'm sure can understand having stuck with this.
Firm recommendation for The Room.
Well, much like The Room, Quest for Glory features dialogue that can't be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Although Quest for Glory is more intentionally good and snarky, whereas The Room is, you know, The Room.
Incomprehensible second language translations.
Yeah, I was just writing down the few things at the beginning of the game that I really liked. You force the sphincter open with your dagger, which first get brought up at the start. A hero's life may be tough, but that's no reason for seppuku.
Yes. Oh, about that. So growing up, I never had this option. I think it's mainly because the computer capabilities. But did you guys ever watch Sliders?
I've seen Lord of the Rings, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the kind of portly dude from Sliders, the older kind of like professor type.
I like how you go to Sliders as how you bring this up.
That's your reference.
So number one, who hasn't seen that? Come on.
Sliders? Like, no one's seen that. That's why it got canceled.
How dare.
I like to eat sliders.
To be honest, you would think that if you could just shrink down a hamburger, it would taste good. No.
Sliders. Get out of here.
Two thumbs down.
Too much bread.
Yeah, exactly. What I am
bread
saying
is off the chart. You need some more meat in there.
Off the charts.
We're talking about a pretty badass dude, though, to narrate that. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, of course we're talking about Sala from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Of course.
Yes.
Bad dates.
Another topical reference.
Also, Gimli, son of Glowin, also known as Jonathan...
Rhys Davies.
Davis?
Also known as the fat guy from Sliders.
The portly guy from Sliders.
I think
that was in a CD-ROM re-release, and I tried to imitate him whenever I did my intro there. You forced the sphincter. I the version that I played did not have any narration.
Oh,
but I looked up a video after I played, just trying to get some more time in with the game, and he was narrating, and my mind was blown. That was amazing. I want to replay it all now with his narration.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan. So that was a nice fun thing that wasn't there growing up. And of course there wasn't Google where you could just type in Paladin and you can configure yourself for a file. I actually had to play through 1, then you carry your game over to 2, carry to 3, and then you bring that into 4, and then you have a pretty sweet character because you start out almost maxed out.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You got years between these games, right? So, you know, just kind of like we wait for TV series or like Star Wars, you know, for 2 years. You wait with your 3.5-inch floppy with your saved
yeah,
game
you do.
File. All right. With the saved game file, and you get ready for the next game. It's pretty exciting.
You're just sitting there holding your 3.5-inch floppy, just waiting day
ready
by day.
To go.
Oh, maybe even 5.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Maybe even 5.25. Like, that's what I...
I know. Oh, whoa, slow down.
Actually, I was frustrated. I was a big player
bragging
of...
over here.
I was a big player of Might and Magic, that old RPG series back in the day. And you could only do that with 4 and 5 carryover. You couldn't import from the other games, unless I'm mistaken. So, that I was reading up on this series, and that does seem really cool. I can't blame you for doing that, John.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would absolutely have done that if I in the early 90s the Greenwell still had like a CGA monitor, so we weren't really playing new games, unfortunately.
Yeah. That is too sad.
Thanks.
The other thing that I would say is have you guys played Oblivion?
The mm-hmm.
The Elder Scrolls, any of the
yeah,
Elder Scrolls series.
I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I played Skyrim, not Oblivion.
I've only played the new
okay.
one.
Okay. So Skyrim, yeah. So I feel like those games are awfully similar to this. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't have enough gaming context to say if Quest for Glory was the precursor for all of these or maybe something was prior to Quest for Glory. But eerily similar, I think. You know what I mean? Like you got your health, your stamina, your magic. This, you know, same general idea applies for almost all of it.
I feel like there is an influence there that, but that, I don't know. It's tough though, because obviously all of these games kind of take a page out of, you know, Dungeons and Dragons sort of influence. Although I think you're probably correct in that, you know, this does kind of have three classes and Skyrim kind of has three classes. And it's kind of like the standard now for those sort of, you know, one player kind of action RPG sort of games.
It's the standard 3-tier. It doesn't go as, you know, deep as if you play Dungeons and Dragons, Ravenloft or whatever. You have, instead of having a wizard and a sorcerer, you just have magic user.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a barbarian or a fighter, you just have a fighter.
Well, it feels like a, like in the party based games, you normally have like more character classes, like a Baldur's Gate. Like there's like 15 different classes, and
well, Baldur's Gate is D&D.
Yeah.
Although D&D has that many classes, so I'm trying to figure out what your point is. They simplify because I guess when you're playing a single player RPG and you don't get a party, they do make your class very generic, mm-hmm. so you can kind of take on multiple roles. Like the fighter is also a tank and is also a high damage dealer and is also acrobatic.
Yeah. Well, because it sucks, unless you're playing like a roguelike, it would suck if you just keep running into obstacles you can't really do anything about because you're not that one specific character class. Well, John, what was the first game of the series you played? Did you start with the first one and kind of continue along, or?
So I want to say I started with 4. And that's kind of backwards, but, you know, is what it is. So I started with 4, and then I went back to 1. Now, and the funny thing is that 1 actually got remade, because I want to say, and if you play 2, a couple of you guys did the purchase pack, right, for all 5 of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have all 5 of them.
It is again been over 20 years since I've done this, but I remember 4 being really good and 1 being pretty good and 2 being fairly bad and 3 or maybe not bad as much as just like a bit too slow for me, and I can't remember which one. You actually have to like type what you want him to do.
You do in the first three games, I think you have to do
oh,
that.
Oh, no.
You had to, but then they redid one to be like four. Yep.
Definitely play the remake if you're playing one.
Yeah.
That kind of threw me for a loop when I first played it, because it does kind of follow King's Quest. I think the first King's Quest you have to type as well. So whenever you go into the room, the first room you go into in the first game, there's a little cat innkeeper, and he says, "Meow, welcome to my humble inn. Would you like something to eat? Please take a seat." And you have to actually type "sit down in chair."
Really?
And then you guys,
I would be
so. No. They did remake the first one more clickable. I would say this entire series 1 through 4. I hear 5 is different. I have no idea about 5. 1 through 4 is overdue for a rehaul. Not to make it into like a 3D modern Telltale style graphics game, but just higher resolution and have everything clickable and be a little bit faster paced.
Mm. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Well, you know, nowadays to kind of circle to the history portion of that, you guys could write to a little company called Sierra through Blizzard Entertainment and ask them to get on that now.
Nah. So here's another direction. They actually topical for now. They took one of the crowdfunding type platforms, I forget which one it is. I think it might be GoFundMe. And they actually took and got well over what they needed to do another Quest for Glory. So I it's not Sierra, because Sierra has been broken up, I believe, since then. But the creators of Sierra are doing another Quest for Glory series, and it's going to be coming out, I want to say, not too long from now.
Oh, really?
Cool.
I did not stumble across that in my my little research here into the series. But I also mostly looked on Wikipedia, and they, of course, being a prestigious publication, they only put stuff on when it's official.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So sources. As I understand it right now, they have a like one portion. Like if you want to think about it, kind of like getting out of the initial cave area, that portion is already made for the new Quest for Glory, just to kind of show the backers what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're well on their way.
It looks like right now on Kickstarter, there is a Quest for Glory thing called Hero U.
There you go. That's it.
Rogue to Redemption.
It is a turn-based PC RPG with adventure game puzzles and an immersive story by the award-winning designers of Quest for Glory. 6,000 backers have pledged $409,000 for it.
Boom.
So it wasn't just a dream that John had.
No. An elf was not speaking to him through his dreams to implant the sequel into his mind. I'm scanning real quick for a release date.
It's based on the School for Heroes, the defunct email-based web game the Coles had created previously.
Oh.
The Coles are the designers, Corey Cole and Lori Cole. Are they siblings or are they married?
Perhaps life partners.
Yeah, I can't possibly judge. We just
both.
But either way, it's pretty
exciting.
Their
names are way too convenient. They got married because they had names like that. They're like, oh, your name's Corey. Well, my name's Lori. Let's get married and make a hero quest game.
That's how it works.
Clearly.
Yeah, well, I didn't mention this in the opening, but yes, Jovial John is married to Jovial Jackie, who guested on the Myst
show. Yeah, it's amazing that they have the same first name.
But different last names.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they're progressive.
You know.
According to the internet, Hero U comes out early 2016. That's as specific of a date I could find.
I want to call this early 2016 right now, just saying.
Oh, called it.
Yeah. That would make me think they mean first quarter, which would be you know, January, February, March, or April. No, that's not how. Yeah.
January, February, March.
Yeah, yeah, there you
or
go.
Or smarch.
I know the math.
Lousy smarch weather. Here's a little tidbit I had about the series and Sierra. The fifth and final Quest for Glory game, Dragonfire, came out in 1998. While it was again decently reviewed, according to Wikipedia, the soundtrack sold 50,000 copies, which was more than the game itself. Unfortunately for the series, Sierra was about to hit some dark times. In 1996, the company was sold to CUC International for $1.5 billion. It later merged with another company. And then in March of 1988, massive accounting fraud was discovered at this new company. And in 1999, Sierra and its subsidiaries, they were forced to lay off more than 300 people. Yeah, so as a result, after 1999, Sierra mostly served as a publisher for other game companies except for its Homeworld series. It eventually became part of Activision in 2008, and by that time, there's another company purchased by Activision that kind of had more prominence when it came to PC games, and that was Blizzard Entertainment.
Never heard of them.
They're a tiny company.
I wish them luck.
Big in Texas. In 2014, though, Blizzard reestablished Sierra as kind of a legacy imprint. The company is currently doing remakes and conversions for some of its older software and kind of doing lower scale, fake indie kind of games as of now. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did start doing more Quest for Glory games, and I think they have a new King's Quest coming out. Sierra back in the day, Sierra was, you know, obviously a pretty big deal.
Yeah, Sierra was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Well, I believe they did the other Jovial guested game, Myst.
Did they?
No, that was
Cyan Studios.
Oh, okay. That's it for me tonight.
King's Quest and Leisure Suit Larry were pretty huge. So when you take the Quest for Glory and those two, that's at least in the 80s, that was pretty much it for PC games.
Leisure Suit Larry. Now there is a clicking adventure game.
Well, where else could you see badly pixelated boobs and play a game about trying to get laid, man?
Hey, man. Got my leisure suit. My name's Larry.
Yeah. Well, some of the other games Sierra did. Sierra kind of, you know, they muddled through the early 80s. They were the publishers for Ultima 2. And also some other Ultima games. King's Quest is obviously probably their most well-known series. But then they basically did a bunch of other games with Quest in the title, such as Quest for Glory, Police Quest, Space Quest. Yep, Leisure Suit Larry, and as a lot of companies did back in the day, they also did like reference software, Hoyle's Official Book of Games. I think we all remember.
Oh, you know what?
We're playing that one.
One second. No, I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Well,
I thought they did Oregon Trail, but there's something that I played. There's something that I've played that they've done, and I just can't remember it.
They didn't do Shaq Fu either.
Oh.
They did Police... what is that?
Police Quest.
Quad? Police Quest, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, Steve just said that.
They did Castle of Dr. Brain. I played that one back in the day in computer class at...
No.
Mystery House.
I can't read it, you...
Before... Did you know before... Leisure Suit Larry. It was called Chuck Benton's Soft Porn Adventure.
Oh, that is a way better name.
That's
a decent
description.
Yeah, except and for by, Leisure by Suit way, Larry is not going to get you in trouble with your parents, where soft porn whatever is definitely going to get you.
If you, I actually, you know, I've done some deep dives on adventure games in the past, and I found out if you look at the cover of Soft Porn Adventure for Adults Only by Sierra Online Systems, a couple of the people on the front cover are the founders of Sierra. I think Roberta Williams is one of them. And they posed in a hot tub with no tops for this picture.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, I like that they have the warning underneath the photo of the ladies in the hot tubs here.
Do you think that's a computer monitor or a TV in the background?
Oh, that's a TV. That looks like a TV.
Not a good pod, but either way.
Could honestly be either. But yeah, it's a TV.
Adam, this is radio. by the way, yes, Brisket is not embellishing. The name of this game that we are looking at is called Soft Porn Adventure.
For adults only.
Yes, by Charles Benton. $29.95.
It's a text adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Well, as you play the game, you're just supposed to look at the cover.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but DOS 3.2 or 3.3. Very advanced.
Mm-hmm.
This game is R-rated. It is not suggested for minors or persons easily offended. It is offered solely for entertainment value. No other purpose is intended or implied by the manufacturer.
I may be wrong, but the Motion Picture Association of America does not have jurisdiction over computer games, so I don't know what they're talking about.
I think what they mean is you can't use it to plow a field.
Quick pause. What other purpose would you possibly use it for that they have to put that disclaimer for? I want to know why they put that there. Like somebody did something.
Educational.
You cannot use the disc as a bookmark. It is not allowed. They will come to your house and slap you.
Sharpen it into a shiv.
So Sierra kind of has a varied publishing history here. By the way, Huel, I'm not sure. Do you mean a game we played on YPB?
No, it just could be my brain.
Okay, because they have done some other big games like Betrayal at Krondor, or Condor. Krondor.
Maybe I'll look it up.
The Incredible.
I just remember seeing that logo. You know, the Sierra logo.
The Incredible Machine.
No, it's okay. This is
bringing it back to the Quest for Glories.
Yes, please.
What was you guys' favorite character in this?
Probably the general store lady with all the cats.
Yeah, I didn't get too far to see enough characters, but from the video I watched, and I seen some all the characters that they have in this game are takes off of real life people. Like I saw one which was a cockroach with a head that looks like Marty Feldman, or what was that guy's name? Igor from the Frankenstein movies.
Oh yeah, so, Marty Feldman.
No, he's in Young Frankenstein. I don't know. He was Igor.
There's actually a character called Igor, and the one you're talking about. None of you guys chose a thief, right?
No.
No.
So there's a thieves guild, and spoiler, in the thieves guild, the guy who runs the thieves guild got cursed, and he's like a big spider with a head of a human.
Whoa.
But he talks like I think his name is Marty Feldman. I'm blanking on my historical cinema knowledge right now.
Rob Reiner?
Hang on a second. I have to look it up.
You were right about Marty Feldman in Young Frankenstein.
Wait, no. Marty Feldman was the guy from Spinal Tap, wasn't he?
What? Which guy from Spinal Tap?
That was Paul Schaefer's character, I thought.
His name?
Yeah. I don't know. Marty Feldman's an actor.
Yeah. That's what we were saying.
No, I thought you were referring.
Oh my. This is the worst.
It really is. Sorry.
I'm keeping it going, so I also apologize.
No, sorry. The guy in Spinal Tap is called Marty DeBurgi. Sorry.
Of course.
Listen. There are many Martys around.
I also like the Burgomeister. Because what is a Burgomeister?
Apparently a portly man who runs the town.
Yeah. Oh, Peter Lorre? Is that who you're thinking of?
Ooh. The ones that left said they felt uncomfortable around me. Fools. They think there's some sort of brotherhood of man. This is a brotherhood of thieves. They should be uncomfortable around me.
So that's the dude, and this is after he gets transformed back into a human.
Mm.
So you were wondering what his face looked like. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, and him and other characters are based off of real life references. Like this guy, he's Peter Lorre, and he talks like this.
He does talk like that, yes.
Exactly.
So I thought Igor was probably my favorite character. He makes graveyard jokes the entire game, which I find kind of
yeah. I ran into him. Well, he was my quote in the beginning. He was obviously not a fan of the monastery.
No, not so much.
No, very few are.
It was kind of, you know, of all the characters in the game, he's the most helpful. What other time do you get a heads up like, you are about to die?
that is bad.
And he just stops you. He's like, well, you can click on this again and die if you want to, but probably not.
Well, the first time I got there, I guess it was too late at night, and he wasn't outside of the monastery. So I just walk right up to it. I'm like, I wonder what this is. And the statue came down and ate me.
So basically, you just died a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was not good at this. Often to tentacles. Tentacles seemed to be my downfall. Because the statue thing, the skull thing, had like tentacles on the side of it. And they just reached down and ate me.
There are a disproportionate amount of tentacles in this game. And you seem to die by all of them.
And I never learned to just avoid them. I just walk right up to them.
Oh, I hate to spoil a future show we've already promised, but you are not going to like Maniac Mansion either, then, Huel.
No, I played that. It was one I actually played, and I know all about the tentacles there.
Avoid the calamari this weekend, too. We're at it.
I usually do.
Because I was so bad at this game, the only other character I really ran into was Katrina. So,
okay.
She seemed vampy, like, and I did look her up after, and yes, literally, she does seem to be a vampire.
Spoiler.
Did you buy the garlic?
No, I didn't get to that option.
What?
I'm sorry.
It's in the inn.
This isn't the Lost Boys. That doesn't work.
Well, I wasted 25 crew checks or whatever.
And you can use it for something else.
But by the way, she was also voiced by Jennifer Hale, who is probably, I don't know if she is the most well-known, but she's probably one of the most well-known voice actresses when it comes to video games.
Mm-hmm.
Baldur's Gate, Mass Effect, Metroid Prime, Metal Gear Solid, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and I did read in passing that this was her first video game role, this series.
Interesting.
Yep. And according to Wikipedia, it is. It's settled then. This was her first game. And then from there, we covered Metal Gear Solid on the show. She voiced Naomi in that. And, you know, she's been in a lot of other games. So
definitely someone I've heard of.
Yeah, she's... It would be weird if you had not managed to play a game. She was also voiced in Metroid Prime. She voiced Samus.
Right. So,
you know, you may have played that.
I did. I enjoyed it much.
Yeah. Good to hear.
As a GameCube defender, I almost was required to.
They sent it to you along with packages tied in the mail.
Yeah. It's one of the benefits of doing this show.
Oh, good times. Now, John, obviously a game in the series has not came out for a while. So when was the last time? What was the last one that you played? Did you play Dragonfire in 98 when it came out? Or
I did. Yep. I like I said, I bought it because our 33SX computer got upgraded to a 66DX. and that still wasn't fast enough to play Quest for Glory 5. So I spent a pretty solid amount of money buying a HP rig that was fast enough to play that game.
But
pretty much the only reason I bought that computer was to play that game.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but back in the day, I only ever upgraded or wanted an upgrade for my computer for games, because it's not like, I don't know, I was a kid. It's not like I was doing word processing on it.
Like, yeah, there wasn't much other reason to get a new computer back then.
Yeah, there was no magical internet. You were lucky if you had Prodigy.
Yeah, when I was in high school, AOL just started, so that was kind of a deal for us. So I did get to do some word processing as well. And by buying my own computer, that meant I got to use one. So that was kind of cool.
Oh. That is true.
Yeah, I got AOL in ninth grade, I think. And that was, it opened up a whole new world, man.
In the 90s, hey,
that was last week.
There weren't cheap computers. Like, you can get a computer for nothing. Like, if you want to buy a crappy one, you can buy one for nothing. They didn't have that in the 90s. I mean, they were all pretty darn expensive.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The laptop I'm on now cost me $300.
Yeah, there was nothing like that in the 90s.
I needed a new one.
Yeah, the first, like, new family computer we got came with about six high-quality games, one of them being a King's Quest game, and that's what really
–
that's that game, when it came with it, I had no idea what this genre was before, but I popped it in and fell in love, and I had to search out every kind of game like it.
Teeb, who was your favorite character in this game?
What's that?
Your favorite character in this game? Who was that?
Oh, I thought I said the cockroach guy.
Oh, the cockroach guy. Okay. So you did make it to meet him, though.
No, I watched a video.
Ah,
actually, you know, if I'm being honest, honestly, in all honesty, John Rhys Davies as the narrator is probably the best.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty great.
Oh, he was constantly funny. Like, I was also, after a while, I just started clicking like on myself randomly with every item just to see what kind of like thing he would say to me.
Yeah, what response? Because there's just so much dialogue. To find out, or to discover, I should say.
Oh yeah.
Just with the items, and then looking at everything, and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did. I read something about his recording session. He called this recording session on this game one of his worst experiences in Hollywood career. I think just because it's intensive. It's how many hundreds of hours of repeating lines.
Oh yeah. That's got to be it.
And it probably wasn't in a highly professional studio. They're very low budget, I bet. You know, and they're just, yeah, some kid telling the great actor,
classically trained,
telling him what to do. You might have a
grumpy old Porky.
Might have an issue with that.
Grumpy old Sala.
They get into this on some of the Rob Paulsen on his podcast. He gets into it, and John DiMaggio gets into it on some of the Futurama commentaries. About how, like, video game work is kind of like the grunt work of the voiceover game, just because it's like, if for a dying sound effect in a modern game, they might have like 20 different versions of it, and it's normally one actor doing all of that, and they're doing like 20 takes of it, and it's supposed to be hell on your vocal cords, which is why you often, like, you know, you'll see how Hollywood actors slum to take, you know, they might take some animation work, but you don't normally see them taking like the video game work unless it's, you know, it's normally if they are in a video game, they're like a rigid character, I think Michael Douglas is in Mass Effect or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the, what's his name? The blind man or whoever that is.
Oh, the elusive man.
The elusive man.
But
as speaking of Mass Effect. Speaking of Mass Effect, guys,
it's back.
The Katrina character, was voiced by Jennifer Hale.
Oh well, you stepped out for a bit.
You already covered that.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Did you know Jennifer Hale is one of the most extensive voice actresses
in the video game realm.
Video game? Oh, she's in one of Huel's favorites, Metal Gears.
Mm-hmm. We also mentioned that.
I do always find it amusing when you go to like these voice actors, like you look at their voiceover work and it's like pages and pages, and then their live action work and it's like, they played girl number three in Two and a Half Men.
Yeah. They made a try.
Yeah. This will shock you. Jennifer Hale played a TV announcer in Two and a Half Men.
Ugh. Low point in her career.
And she played Gloria in ER, one episode. So,
I do have a confession. So as much as I like Jonathan Rhys Davies and I thought he was a pretty great narrator, and it was really a new experience for me because, you know, we didn't have this the first time I played through it. I did not like any of the other narrators, you know, kind of like in my
head. Characters?
Yeah. Jonathan Rhys Davies was an improvement in, you know, kind of like the narration you hear in your head. He was an improvement over that. And I feel like all the other ones were taking a step back.
Ooh.
Hot take. Yeah, all the other ones were not. I don't think they're really professional voice actors. It's just like they had some guy sitting around the studio and said, hey, can you?
Hey, Susie, you're a girl. Can you read this?
Yeah.
Got Jimmy and Bimmy coming in to record three lines.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the video game industry, that's how pretty much all of this worked back in the day. You know, whether we're talking about voiceover acting or in Nintendo's case, translation from Japanese to English.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, the princess is in another castle.
I am error.
Yep. Oh man. Yeah. Some of those Zelda games are especially bad. Zelda 2 and Konami was also pretty bad with the Castlevania games. Well, I think we're kind of coming to a close here on the Quest for Glory chat. Huel, why don't you go first? Do you have anything else you want to add about the old Quest for Glory here?
A nice touch that I liked, whenever you play sort of games like this, whether they're RPGs or adventure games, you get kind of dialogue screens and you go through your choices, you ask them about things, and usually at the bottom it'll say, like, cancel or back or end, and this just said, enough already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done. It's enough. Done with you. So, another nice little touch, I thought.
Brisket, how about you?
Last thing I have is that I like the one thing that was awesome and I giggled a little bit is when you meet Dr. Cranium.
Oh god!
And you find out the five elements that make up all of matter, and it's earth, wind, fire, water, and pizza.
Mm.
And it plays all those elements play a big part in the game because you use those to make potions. And pizza is one of the most important elements because it's delicious.
Yes.
I can't argue with that logic.
Irrefutable.
That Dr. Cranium, I tell you. With his mustache house.
He was also related to Dr. Robotnik. I don't know if you knew that. John, how about you?
I kind of going on what Teeb said, I love the just there's all these little nuances, but one of my favorites, you quit the game and it says return to the land of the living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know their audience for sure.
Yeah. And even I was surprised at just the amount of, you know, you can look around with the cursor and they go into narration for quite a bit of these. Like,
yeah.
Like pretty much any place you could click that looks different than the screen, than just kind of like the backdrop. Like you can look at it and it'll give you something funny to say. So the snark is definitely appreciated throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like we're moving on to the email portion of the show. John, did you want to stick around for some emails, or do you have to head out for now?
I want to say it's about 57 minutes past my bedtime, so I really appreciate you guys having me on, and have a good night and enjoy your questions.
Oh, all right. Thank you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
See you guys later.
All right. Have a good one, John. All right. Now, let's open the old email bag, then.
Let's roll the emails.
Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact, check tonight, and I have one email.
Ooh, go ahead.
It is from everyone's favorite, Scooterbo42.
Oh, Scooty.
He's got more to say, so he writes in. Dear YPB, oh, you boys, Aladdin was a great episode. You can show me the world indeed. I used to pretend I was in Aladdin when I was a kid. I love the movie so much. It inspired me to try to go find a magic carpet to recreate my childhood. I found an old, dirty, flattened box and imagined myself flying above the rooftops of Agrabah at night. Speaking of flying, did you ever play Pilot Wings? Sincerely, Scooterbutt42.
That's Scooty. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good ask. That's a good...
That's a great ask.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Would anyone like to answer that ask?
Yeah, it's... That game is on our on my short list to get onto our show.
Interesting. Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Super Nintendo's as a launch title. It showed off the Mode 7 graphics, the 3D graphics. Mm-hmm. It was a tight little game, tight little ditty. You can just pick it up and hit your hang glider for a few minutes and put it down.
Yeah.
It's definitely surprising that that was a launch title because it feels like a very polished kind of game.
Was it a launch title or was it a Mode 7 launch title?
No, it was a launch title, I'm pretty sure. I think that one and Pilot Wings 64 were both launch titles.
64 was not a launch, I don't think. Or am I wrong?
I don't know. I can.
It was very near the beginning because I don't even think they even had many launch titles. They had like three games, and maybe that was one of them. I might be making stuff up.
You know what? You are Brisket is correct. Pilot Wing 64. It was one of three launch titles for the Nintendo 64 in Japan as well as Europe, and one of two launch titles in North America.
Yes, two.
Fantastic. I definitely remember that about Nintendo 64, though, the fact that there was like there's jack crap out for it.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
So the U.S. launch, August 19th, 1991, you have F-Zero, Gradius 3, SimCity, Super Mario World, and a little title called Pilot Wings.
Look at this guy. All right.
And N64, Huel, there was only two for America, so you can guess the other one. If you know Pilot Wings is one.
Well, I know it's not Mario.
No, Mario 64.
I thought it came out later.
No.
That's a launch title, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess Kart came out later.
Yeah, Kart came out later.
And I would have given you credit for Saikyo Habu Shogi.
Is that some kind of chess game or something?
It means strongest Habu Shogi.
Oh, well, that's...
Of course.
Very informative.
The strongest Habu Shogi.
What is that game? I just remember that even in Nintendo Power at the time, they said that there was a third game in Japan, but that it was so Japanese it would never be translated.
Oh, yeah. The cover is a picture of a guy in a kimono holding a fan. And he's
what else would he be doing?
He looks like the Japanese Bill Gates from the 70s.
Oh my god, this guy is amazing.
He looks,
and he's sitting in front of a tray of, I can only assume it's sushi.
Oh, why is that?
I think it's a video board game.
Oh god, this looks awful.
It's a Japanese virtual board game.
That is amazing.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe. And again.
Oh, they're playing shogi, which is Japanese chess.
Oh, okay. Chess game.
He was right. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of. It's weird that that stuck in my head, but none of I can't tell you anything about my high school chemistry courses. But answering old Scooty's question, Pilot Wings was pretty good fun. I mean, it wasn't super competitive because it was kind of just like, oh, you're competing against yourself. You need to fly through some rings. Yeah. It was a nice light little game to play. Except two stages inexplicably had you like controlling like a fighter pilot jet.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you finished hang gliding and flying a gyrocopter. Okay, now take out this ice space.
Yeah. Now we need to you got your class C pilot's license. Let's go shoot.
It's
down,
like
go shoot down some krauts.
It's like Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Oh, clearly. Oh, I did find this quote about Pilot Wing 64 by Shigeru Miyamoto. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to explain, but the feeling of the flight simulation is very realistic. You can glide down from the top of a mountain, then turn around and look back up at the peak and say, hey, I was just up there. It's that real.
Oh. I will say, Pilot Wings, although we'll probably talk way more about it in the future, I could have just done with just parachuting stages. I need all these plane stages.
Not really.
Big. I'm definitely a big parachuting guy. Big parachuting fan versus the other ones. So maybe we'll talk more about this in the future.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to see what the response is. Well, Huel, did you have thoughts on Pilot Wings? Because I know, you know, you are the reason Scooter Butt writes it, to be frank.
Oh, well, unfortunately, Scooty, I never played the Super Nintendo one, but I did play Pilot Wings 64, and it's fine.
Well.
That's about it. Well, pretty much, you know, just glide around, you know, do some stuff, go through rings.
I've never actually played Pilot Wings 64.
Well then.
Yeah, well. Oh. There you go.
Maybe,
you know, it's more of the same, really.
Yeah, it's just with fancier graphics and maybe a few more. I think there's a helicopter and a few more vehicles, but not much.
There's more mode 7-ing happening.
Yeah. It's like mode 14, yeah.
Oh. Hey now!
Oh, look at you guys. Well, Brisket, did you get any emails this week?
Oh, unfortunately, my notification receptacle was quite lacking.
Huh?
Shame.
That's an odd way to phrase it, but we will have to take your word for that. Yes, quite.
I'm not going to look.
No, me either. I'm not gonna take a flight out there.
And it shouldn't be your job either, right?
No, man.
It's all up to you.
It's not my country. I got one email this week. Hey, guys, have you seen trailers for the new Doom game? Do you have any thoughts on it? Sincerely, The Noid.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, someone...
No, it's got to be a coincidence. That's not the Noid.
Oh, I think he...
It's got to be another Noid.
I think he knows that.
And that's quite a common name.
I think he knows that I'm a fan of him, and now he's a fan of me. So that's what I'm going to take it as. But have you or have you not seen the trailers for the new Doom game there?
I have not have saw that.
Has one?
Not even.
Huh. Not even has had one.
Oh.
No, I actually haven't either.
Okay, go ahead, please.
No,
please.
I was just gonna say I'm not a big fan of the Doom series. It just seems like more of the same crap.
Yeah, I was gonna say what I was gonna say.
Oh, but what was one had or not have said? of Doom.
Is that I shy away from first-person shooters until they're out and have good reviews in modern times. I don't pick them up. I let the masses make my decision for me.
Yes.
You let
all the kids and their Call of Duties go first.
You let the world serve as your playtesters. You know, I did see the trailer for this. And it looks fun, but also intimidating. Because
difficulty or?
Well, they have kind of made the emphasis completely on blowing stuff up. And you know, the emphasis,
you got CFG, man.
Yeah, the emphasis was always kind of on blowing stuff up, but now it's also like most of the health pickups and ammo stuff, like you have to kill enemies for it now. And the combat looks way faster, and there's more of an emphasis on melee or melee. Both of them. As in, like, enemies kind of flash colors when you can deliver, like, a death blow. So it looks – they're doubling down on the fast-paced action and gore.
Yeah. It looks like they're kind of copying the Brutal Doom formula.
Oh, I don't even think I'm familiar with Brutal Doom. Is that
Brutal Doom is a mod for Doom 2, I think, where it adds in a lot more stylistic kills and more melee stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Look it up. It's quite a little vidy to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Although, and I will say though, John Carmack left ID Software a couple years ago, and ever since then, I have not felt super super enthused about their direction. So we'll kind of see.
Yeah, I only buy games based on who one guy that works at the company is.
Well, he kind of was the guy there. Like, I don't.
Oh, know. Yeah. He is. He's a genius. He's a genius. And before we get any letters, before we get any complaining letters from the haters out there, it's called id Software.
Is it really?
Yep.
Well, listen, I don't say video games out loud. Video game companies. That would imply that I have friends to talk to them about in person. And I do not, unless it's Fallout. Then I have friends.
Oh, then you can just talk to anybody on the street. They're like, hey man, you help the Commonwealth out?
Oh, new patch coming out soon, boys.
Settlements.
Yeah, Brisket already has it because he's on the PC Master Race.
Yeah, get the beta.
Yeah, Huel, you're a console player, right?
He's doing Fallout on the PC.
I did PC for Fallout.
Oh, you sons of bitches.
But I haven't turned it on in like 3 weeks.
Oh, you both. Oh my God, you both already have the patch.
I just said I don't technically have it.
Oh, but you could.
Yeah, I could. I could do it right now.
Once you go back,
but I'm not gonna.
Once you go back to the Commonwealth, you'll be able to properly manage your settlements.
Yeah. I'm on detox right now, but I'll dive back in at some point.
I've been too distracted by Quest for Glory to back into Fallout.
I played Aladdin for like 8 straight days, so.
did you really?
No.
Okay. I mean, Aladdin was fun, but that's probably 6 days too many.
I beat it 7 times.
Yeah, you just played it once a day, just got right through it.
Yep. I really wanted to memorize everything.
I will say, but I always put like our episodes up on Facebook and be like, oh hey, here's our latest episode. I was shocked at how many people had played Aladdin. Like, it is by far the game that has gotten the most response from my personal Facebook friends. And
it was
a
big hit.
Well, I knew it was popular, but I didn't realize it was like. Like with a certain age demographic, it was like more popular than everything. The only thing that was close to it was Myst.
Not even GoldenEye?
GoldenEye got more of a devoted following. Like, and by that I mean like males who were in their late teens, early 20s when it came out.
Yeah.
Whereas Aladdin definitely, it's a mixture of
men
and women who were in their probably in their teens and tweens when that game came out.
Or younger, probably.
Yeah, true.
You're only a year older than me.
True. Well, like an all ages game. Like I would have been like,
yeah.
I was probably like 10 when I played that game. So,
mm-hmm.
Fun for the whole family there. So, yep.
A starving boy thieving on the streets. Fun for the whole family.
Well, you know, he was one step ahead of the. I forget.
Yes. Indeed he was.
Yes, he was one step ahead of whoever that person was. The hitman, or I don't know. Robin Williams. Well, I think we're about wrapped up here then. Huel, did you have any words of wisdom as we sign off here?
No, just keep in mind that I am the Burgomeister.
Hmm. Okay. Todd Brisket, did you have anything to say as we signed off here?
Sure. As my good, close, and personal friend Jonathan Rhys Davies once said, "Werewolves are gypsies, no question about it."
That doesn't even make sense for a lot of reasons, but
I can't disagree though.
He's famous. I don't want to disagree with him. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to leave you with a little snifferoo from our game next week. Thank you.